I'll tell you what, I feel like I've been to a meeting. We could dismiss and go home right now, and it's been worth the... I appreciate this revival-type music. It's a blessing. Well, let me get right to it here. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 4. Page 1269 in your old Schofield reference Bible. If that offends you, I don't apologize for it. I'm just sorry for you. But let me say just before I read the scripture, let me say just a few words. A lot of people have been asking about my dear wife Ellen, and she is making progress, and for the first week or so, she had excruciating pain. They say when you break your vertebra, that it's one of the most painful things. And I can see that from what she suffered the first week or so. But we saw a doctor last week, our medical doctor, and he says healing is taking place. And we'll see him in two more weeks, and we can go from there. Maybe she'll be able to come back to church then, because she can't come and sit and get up, but she couldn't do that. But it's been a trying time for both of us. But you know, the Lord is a gracious God in time of need, isn't he? Aren't you glad we have the Lord to look to? What would we do if we didn't have the Lord to look to? It was a shock to me when she fell, and I took her down here to the walk-in clinic down by the Food City, and one of the medics there was, after they took a shot and everything, x-ray, she said, just in simple terms, just tell me what happened, what my condition is. And he just come around and said, you have a broken back. And I technically, it was a compression fracture. But it was a shock to me to hear that about my wife. But I want to thank the good folks at Buffalo Ridge for your prayers. Many of you said you've been praying, and I want to thank you. And two, for the good food you've brought by. And I hate to step on the scales now. I'm afraid I've gained 3 or 4 or 5 pounds during this time. But anyway, and I appreciate Brother Jody asking me to preach here on the fifth Sundays. There's 4 fifth Sundays, and then I'm on the first Wednesday night. And I appreciate that, Brother Jody. And so turn in your Bibles now to 1 Thessalonians 4. And I want to preach to you on the second coming of Jesus. The blessed hope of the church is to see him coming. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I'm glad of that, aren't you? Even so, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, this is a wonderful passage of scripture on the coming of the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, or go before, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and hallelujah for this, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good service. Lord, we could go home right now, and it's just been worth it to hear these good songs and hear this passage read from the Word of God. But Lord, I need your help. I confess before God, man, I can't preach unless you help me. And I pray that the sweet Holy Spirit will energize me tonight, Lord, or I can't do it. But Lord, help me to lift up the Word of God and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Be faithful to him. Speak to our hearts. Lord, somebody here not saved or a Christian following afar off, would you deal with them by your Spirit, I pray. Now help me, Lord. Help me. I need your help. Or Lord, I certainly can't do it without your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I've given my testimony many times from this pulpit, so I'm not going to be repetitive and go into it. But you've heard me say, as a 13-year-old boy, I went saved in a revival and a town drunk that shouted all over the church, and what was going on hardly. I was raised in the Methodist church, where you could cough once, couldn't cough twice. But I was raised around the old time religion, though, and I was familiar with it. And I don't believe the Lord ever spoke to my heart about getting saved till that night. And I didn't go to church to get saved. I'm giving you my testimony. And I said I wasn't going to do it, but repetitive. But all right, if you can't give a testimony, you don't have much to save. You know that? But anyway, I got saved that night as a 13-year-old boy. Went home and go with me to the back room. I won't say any more. And I laid my head down on the bed, looked out that window. It's a beautiful, I believe it's a July night. And the moon just shining, so big and beautiful. And as I was lying there as a 13-year-old boy, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I felt like in my heart, the thought came to me, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would come back tonight? That thought possessed me. And I became a premillennialist the night I got saved, because the Holy Spirit put the coming of the Lord on my heart. And so the coming of the Lord has been precious to me down through the years. And tonight, there's many things we could say from this passage of Scripture, but I want to just reach in there and take out four important things on our blessed hope of the return of the Lord back to this world. And the first one is that just what I just said. Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." I like that, the Lord himself. He's not going to send a seraphim or a cherubim or an angel. He's going to come himself. The Lord himself is coming back after us, folks. And, you know, scoffers may laugh and liberals deny that there is such a thing as a second coming. But I'm glad to report to you, Jesus is coming again to this earth. And I don't know when it's going to be, but I believe it's soon. The greatest truth of the past is Jesus came and died for my sins and died for your sins. You know, when he's hung on the cross, he had me in mind, had you in mind. He died for the sins of the whole world. He died. We ought to all just praise the Lord tonight. He died for me. He did. He died. Whether you accepted him or not, he's already died for you. And if we accept what he did for us, then the record's clear today, for he washes my sins away. The old account was settled long ago. But that was the greatest truth of the past. He did come. But the greatest truth of the future, Jesus is coming again. Thank God. Jesus himself said in John 14, 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And he said, if I go, and he did go, if I go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Well, I'm excited just about that. He's going to receive me, going to receive you for saved unto himself when he comes back. Now, even the angels, did you know the angels were second coming preachers? There when Jesus ascended from the mountain there and all the disciples around, as he went up above the trees and above the clouds and on into heaven, all of a sudden, two men in white apparel. Next, the first chapter there. I believe it's the first chapter. Two men in white apparel stood there. And they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Then the apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, in verse 16, gives that affirmation of the blessed hope of the return of the Lord when he said, "The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout." Now, folks, that's answered all of our problems. I'd like to see a great revival. I'm reading about Whitfield, the great revivals he had in the Eastern Seaboard in the 1700s, made six or seven trips to America, preaching you must be born again. And it brought revival to this country. And our forefathers came over from that great revival into this country here. Now, I got off my notes there. Let me see where I'm supposed to get back on here. But the Lord, we face many problems in America, certainly. It's divided on every hand today and around the world. And we don't see the answer. There's seemingly there's no answer to the problem. But the answer to the problems of our country and this world is the return of Jesus. When he comes back, brother, he'll turn everything upside right in that day. So I thank God for that. And then the second thing I want to point out of this passage concerning our blessed hope is the blessed hope of the resurrection of our body. Isn't that a great hope we have? You know, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man what? Once to die. All of you, I included, we're going to all die someday. It's like death is on our following us, and it's going to keep on like a bloodhound on our pathway till one day death is going to overtake every one of us. And Job of old asked the question in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? That's a good question. If a man die, shall he live? The Apostle Paul answers that question here in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He says, yes, he will. He says, when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, Paul says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And notice that blessed hope of the resurrection is only for this resurrection. That's the first resurrection. Is only for the dead in Christ. This hope is only for a child of God who's been born again, had a personal relationship with Christ, and as his Savior. So if you do not know Christ, I've asked the Lord to give me a broken heart right here. But if you don't know Christ tonight, I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not beating you over the head. I'm going to help you. If you've never been born again, and if you do not know Christ and you die lost, what a terrible, terrible tragedy to die lost. It'd be better if you'd never been born to die without Jesus Christ. But if you die without Christ, you'll stay in the grave at the first resurrection. When Jesus comes and the saints come out of there, you'll stay in the ground for seven long years during the tribulation. Then the Lord comes back with all of us after we've been married. I'm going to be a wonderful bride. Someday I've told you many times this book. I'm going to be married along with every other Christian, born again child of God. I'm going to be married to the heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me get back to my notes. You got me off my notes here. Let's see where I was before you got me off on. But anyway, if you die lost, then Jesus was going to come back after the tribulation, set up his reign on this earth, rule with a rod of iron, have a glorious thousand-year reign of Christ, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And then at the end of the millennium, you'll stay unsaved, friend, if you're here without Christ. You're going to stay in your grave for 7 years of the tribulation, 1,000 years you're going to stay in that grave. And then at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, the Bible says after that time that you will come out of your grave after 107 years long there and at the resurrection of damnation. Now, I want the Lord to give me a broken heart right here. And you will stand, listen, if you're unsaved, you'll stand before the Lord there at the great white throne judgment. And your name will not, the book of the Lamb's book of life of the redeemed, born again people will be open. And your name at that judgment, your name will not be in the book of life. In Revelation 20:15, listen, if you're unsaved, don't have assurance of your salvation. Now listen to this. My heart goes out to you. And I love you. Christ died for you. Christ loves you tonight. Revelation 20:15, and at the great white throne where you'll be unsaved, friend, you'll be brought out of your grave and brought to the great white throne. And whosoever Now, Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, I want to just stop and just weep there, Brother Jody. What a terrible thing it is to die lost, come out of the grave, go before the great white throne judgment, and then be cast into the lake of fire. That's why you ought to get saved before we leave here tonight. Just come to Christ and get born again, and you can skip that. But I thank God for the dead in Christ are coming out. And then the resurrection of the unsaved will be at the end of the millennium. But let me just go back to 1 Thessalonians. I don't know when I started, and I don't know when I'm going to stop either, so we'll keep on for just a few more minutes. But the third thing, I love this. There's a blessed hope of our reunion with our loved ones who have died in Christ. And Paul said, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And many of you sitting here, I were over all 46 years, have gone with you to a loved one to a grave. It's a horrible thing, hard on the pastor and hard on the family, to turn and leave and walk away from an empty grave where you've just deposited a loved one. And so, but you maybe have a husband or wife or son or daughter, and you thought your heart would break. But if they were saved, when the trumpet sounds, we'll see them again, and see them. And when we're caught, the Bible says we're going to be caught up together. Your loved one is going to be caught. We're going to be caught up together. Isn't that wonderful? That I like that. Be caught up together with him as we go up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I've told you about my daddy was killed in a car wreck July 8th, 1953. And he only heard me preach one time before he got killed. And an old congregational preacher, Bible-believing congregational preacher, told me, he said, "I talked to your daddy the next morning, and your dad was proud you decided to be a preacher, Gene." But I was up in Alaska. I was a Southern Baptist student missionary that summer. That's before I came out of the convention. But anyway, I was up there just 4 weeks, and I picked up the phone, and my pastor in Saudi, Tennessee, said, "Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your daddy was just killed in a car wreck out at Red Bank, Tennessee." And I made that 24-hour trip and got home, and I saw my dad when I walked in. They used to bring them and put them in the front room of the house. You remember that, some of your older people. And there my dad was, the best daddy a boy ever had. Worked hard as a coal miner. But he's a strong American, fought in World War I. And believed in the old-time religion. My mom and dad had sixth and seventh grade education, but you had to walk on a tight rope around my dad and my mom. And I thank God, young people not in here, but you ought to thank God if you have a mom and dad that wants you to live right. That'll probably keep you out of hell. And you parents ought to see, you ought to have high standards. I can't get off on that though. I'm on the second coming here though, But we'll see. I'm just going to leave that right there. We'll see. I'll see my daddy again someday, and my mama in a glorified body. And I thank God for my mama. My mama got me off there. I preached my first few messages on the Revised Standard Version. Till I went. I'm getting on another rabbit track. But I'm going to stay there. I believe the Lord wants me to go there. And I went home. She'd been listening to the right kind of preacher. And he'd been telling her that, put out 30 of the 95 translators had communist front records. Some of them were liberal and been put out by the apostate World National Council of Churches. She said, "Gene, that's a bad book. Here my mother, with sixth or seventh grade education, be a big college boy." I resented it. But later on, I realized my mother, the Holy Spirit, let me get off of my Revised Standard Version and get back on my King James Version, and I've been on it for all these years, and I'm going to stay on it till the Lord calls me home. But anyway, I got off on not even where I am my sermon. I'll just go on to my last point here. I preached I don't know how long, I don't know where I started, and I don't know when I'm going to stop. But anyway, let's go to the fourth thing I want to point out about this. Our blessed hope is the blessed hope. Now, I love this. I love this. The blessed hope of being with Jesus through the endless ages. Brother Jack, we're going to be with Jesus for all eternity. That verse 17 says, Paul said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look at those two verses. Notice the shall. I love the certainty of the word of God, don't you? Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, what? Shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this verse says that we who are saved, we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Isn't that a great thought, folks? That's not an original thought with me, but it's right in the Word of God. We can all just rejoice on that right there. When I get to heaven, now I want to see Moses and Elijah and Elisha and David and Apostle Paul and on down the line, Billy, Sonny, D.L. Moody, Grandma Lashley. Grandma Lashley, I've told you many times, she'd get talking. She walked to church all the time, about a mile up to church where she lived. They'd get talking about Jesus. She'd shout before she ever got to church. So I can't help it. I've got a little of the old-time religion left in me. And I'm glad I didn't get too far from it. But anyway, Paul said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I want to see my Grandma Lashley, my Uncle Will, and Uncle Jim, see Daddy. But most of all, first of all, I want to see Jesus. And thank him for saving me as a 13-year-old boy. I couldn't save myself. Didn't even go to church to get saved. I believe the Lord and his sovereign purpose for me. I'm not a Calvinist now, but I believe I didn't go there to get saved. But the Lord saved me that night. And I want to see Jesus and look upon his lovely face and just thank him. And that he could, I want to live so that when I see him, that I'll see the smile of his blessed approval and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that when you see Jesus? Oh, listen, Christian, you ought to stay in the Word of God every day. Try to live holy, godly, separated. Now, don't get me off on separation there. I'll be here half the night. But we ought to live a separated life. You ought to be here every time the door opens. You ought to be Sunday morning. Don't lollygag and stay out on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You ought to have the kids, you say, they got homework, tell them to come in, turn the television, throw those iPads away, get their homework done, we're all going to church. I brought all three of my kids to church every time. And one of them's an engineer now, they got a pretty good education towards teaching down at Crown. And my daughter taught at Bob Jones and married a preacher, so it works to keep your kids in church. Now, I know you live right in front of them, turn them over to the Lord. But I've got off on that. But you wanna live. Let me go right to I wanna just finish with this right here. I'm just about through, Brother Jody. I don't know when I started, and I might have, but I wanna read, you just listen to this. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. I'm not like him now. And I know a lot of you, and you're not either. But one day, we're going to be like Jesus. We'll be like him, for we're going to see him just as he is. And now here's what I want to close with. This verse right here, verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself. Even as he impure. Now, if you're looking for the Lord, it ought to bring you to church faithfully. Every time the door opens, you ought to be here. See, wife and kid, we're going to go and there's somebody sick, can't make it. You ought to be here. And you ought to read the Bible, get in the Bible every day. And you ought to stay out of the hell holes of the world, off the dance floors. And what if the Lord come back and find, well, you'd be saved, but you'd be ashamed. And on, I could go, but Christians. Now, I know, realize almost every one of you are saved tonight, but live in such a way, my challenge as your former pastor, live in such a way that you won't be ashamed when Jesus comes back. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed. I said a word to the unsaved a while ago. Oh, don't die without Christ. Don't die without, what an awful thing it is to die without Christ. Unsaved friend, this pastor standing here and he wants to help you. If you're not sure that you're saved tonight, just slip down here and tell him. We'll pray with you. Stay all night if we have to until you get assurance that you're born again and not have to die and go to hell. We don't want you to go to hell. The Lord doesn't want you to go to hell. You ought to come on to Jesus. He loves you. He loves you more than anybody else in this world could possibly love you. Now, Christians, let me say just a word to you. How would if the Lord had come back tonight, how is it? How's your testimony doing? Are you faithful to the church? Are you faithful in giving? Faithful in reading the Bible? Faithful in being a witness? Oh, listen. I'd try to live in such a way that I wouldn't be ashamed of his appearing. Is there some here tonight say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart tonight, and I need to get some things right with the Lord. Whatever it is, the Lord's got the answer. I don't have the answer, but he does. You'll say, preacher, I felt the Lord speaking to me tonight. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up all over the house. Just, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? If somebody here tonight say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. But I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to die lost without Christ. Preacher, pray for me tonight. Now, I'm not going to come to you, but I'll pray for you right now. Anyone like that? I'm not sure I'm saved. Brother Gary, you want to look and see? I can't. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, I felt your presence here tonight, the good singing and the word of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate Brother Jody, Lord, letting me fill his pulpit here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would bless every person here if you're speaking by your Spirit to Christians. Or somebody here lost, if you're speaking, may they respond and come down and do business with God in this altar here tonight. Maybe, Lord, they need to be filled with the Spirit or just need a closer walk of the ear. Be more faithful. Maybe somebody not even tithing. They don't have the blessing, won't have the blessing of God on their life, Lord. I know that. Help them, Lord. May people come to this altar when as the invitation's given. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just start singing. If the Lord's spoken to you tonight, just come down and talk to the Lord about it. Do business with God in this altar tonight. The altar's open. Come seeking to be filled with the Spirit of whatever need you have right now. Let's have the altar call right now. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
Come on. You'll never regret making a move toward Jesus and toward heaven, toward a dedicated, Spirit-filled life. You'll never regret that. Come on.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Anyone else? Sing the next verse, Brother Gary.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Are bound, your eyes are closed. He's playing through. The Lord has put some food on our plate tonight. he's used his preacher to do it. So many things. But I wonder how many of you had somebody right now you're thinking of right now. You can think of them right now that's with Jesus. They've died in the Lord. Would you raise your hand? You have somebody like that? Yes, that's most of us here. You can put your hand down. Thank God, because of the blessed hope, you'll see them again. There's so many things the Lord spoke about tonight. I'll tell you one thing that the Lord really spoke to me about was just the words, the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. The Lord's coming. That's a blessing, friends. You know, all day long, it's been just a praise time. You know what I mean? Praised Him this morning for His Word. Praise Him tonight for His coming. You know what church is about? It's about lifting up the Lord. That's what it's about. Church is not about lifting up man. It's not about entertaining man. It's not about even trying to get lost people in. That's not what the church is about. The church is about lifting up God. Worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Getting our spiritual gas tanks filled so the church goes out during the week to win people to Jesus Christ and bring them in. The Lord used preacher tonight. We give God the praise for it. I really sense in my spirit that the Lord just wants to be praised. He really does. He just wants to be praised. Someday we're going to see the Lord face to face. My, my. If you don't mind, just look right up here for just a moment. He quit early. He doesn't know that, but he quit a little bit early, so I'm going to take it on here a little bit. There's something inside of every child of God that knows what he preached is true. We know it's true, don't we? There's something inside of God's children that says, that sounds good. That's right, preacher. Amen. We know it. And I sense in my spirit, and honestly, I really do, that the Lord is saying, just be thankful. Just be thankful that someday you're going to see me. I'm coming to get you, son. That's enough to encourage you tonight. I'm going to have Brother Gary just to begin to sing this. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to open the altar again. It's not my purpose to tarry long here, but I want to open the altar again. And here's the altar call. Who among us wants to come and just say thank you, Jesus? That you are coming again. You, yourself. You're coming to get me. And I'm going to see my saved loved ones again. My. I realize that some of you can't come and kneel. I get that. But I hope you're kneeling there in your heart and your seat. But many of you need to get out of your seat and come. And let's thank God tonight for the truth of this message. That the Lord Himself will come. The Lord Himself will come. As Brother Gary sings, I want you to get out of your seat and come. Would you do it, please? Come on now as he sings. Let's just praise God tonight for the truth of this message that Jesus
there
is coming again.
There is coming a day
when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
You know it, sing it.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Folks are praying, they're playing through it. What number is that, Brother Gary?
443.
That is a perfect song for this. If you're seated there and you're not praying, I want you to take your hymnal, turn to page 443. Let's sing this second verse. What an appropriate thing, Brother Gary, just changed that to that song tonight. This is it. Hey, God wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified. And He's worthy of our praise.
Yes.
We give Him praise tonight. This is it. And we lift up Jesus. You know, this preacher lifted up Jesus tonight. It's what he did. That the Lord's coming back again. That's enough to help you. Not only tonight, but the rest of your days. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, that's a blessing, isn't it? And we praise Him for it. Let's sing this second verse together and ask God to help us praise Him from our spirit. Hey, He's looking to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. From our innermost being, let's praise Him tonight, shall we? Let's sing it.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Think about it. Think about it.
And what a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Playing through that, somebody want to just stand and testify and just thank God for His goodness to you tonight. Maybe you've got somebody on the other side. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Somebody else? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else just have to stand, give a testimony. Yes, sir.
I praise the Lord that that word you preached this morning is so plain and so simple that the little bus can catch.
Amen.
If we can get it,
amen. Amen. Amen.
The last 2 weeks at least.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. I like that, Bella. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. This is good tonight. The Lord's in it. Anybody else? Just have to stand. Yes. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Peggy here to your right.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's all because of the Lord, isn't it? It's all because of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Just have to give a word of testimony. You say, how do I know? You'll know. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. We're glad you're here. Amen. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Anybody else?
It's good to brag on Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
He's no one worth bragging.
Amen. Anybody else? Balcony down below. Anybody? 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 Let's sing that second verse again, Brother Gary, and then we'll pray together and be dismissed. Let's sing it together, shall we?
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more party over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Let's all stand together, please. We'll sing this together.
And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Brother Gary, won't you come right here and dismiss us in prayer tonight, sir? God bless you.
Lord, our hearts have been thrilled again tonight as we've thought about your coming. Oh, how we long for the coming of Christ. Lord, when we'll see you face to face for the first time and we'll worship you for all eternity. My, what a time that's going to be to gather on the throne of God and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Oh, God, you're a great Savior, and we thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. Now, this week, we're going to be amongst people who have no assurance of heaven. And I pray you'd open doors and help us to be able to lead others to Christ, that they might know and have this great hope that we have as believers. And for those here tonight who are believers, who are discouraged in the Lord, may they be comforted, may they be encouraged, may they be helped by this great truth that you're coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.